So I'm sorry to communicate, even if we've all heard it by now, that the delicious interlude is over. I was in the middle of getting some pretty advanced dental work done when one of the dental staffers, I don't know what you call them, dental...
hygienists?
Something like that, came in and said, Becky wanted me to let you know that the delicious interlude is over. And they were so confused. And then later on, I found out that it was Pope Francis I, which for half a second, and I have to admit it's because I was on, you know, the pain drugs, I thought maybe they named him after Frank Zappa.
Sainted
Frank Zappa of the Church of American Secular Humanism.
Yes.
Please make all checks to cash. I mean, that's in his book. But, you know, then the drugs kind of faded and I realized it's basically the same news all over again. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're talking about the new Pope. Give us a call if you got one in you. With me today again is Mike. How are you after your vacation?
I feel good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on. And Libby once again.
What's up?
Yeah, this will be fun. So, as you were saying, as we've been talking about on Facebook and other places, everybody likes to talk about how brand new Pope, you know, the new broom, what, you know, sweeps clean kind of stuff, but not really, right?
No,
well,
no.
It's not a new broom. They're never a new broom. It's not like they hired this guy from outside.
Right.
No, man.
Meet the new Pope. Same as the old Pope.
Saying goes.
Yeah, I think that something that I'm responding to a little bit here is that I have been listening to NPR and other commentators like MSNBC's Chris Matthews talking about this guy like this is this dawning of a new age.
Right.
And everything is going to be different now. You do realize that the people that elected this new pope are the same people who elected the last pope, plus people that the last pope appointed.
No,
so this is actually a much more conservative, dogmatic group than the one that previously elected Ratzinger.
Here's a question that Christopher Hitchens asked, which we now can get an answer for. Was Cardinal Law there during this election?
I don't know, but I would assume so, because I don't think he can go anywhere but the Vatican these
days.
Fair
point, yeah. Did they lock him in the the sleepover room?
The Sistine Chapel?
Yeah, it's a sleepover at the Sistine Chapel. They all get their footy pajamas and
lock
cuddle,
in.
Yeah, cuddle under blankets.
Have some pizza, braid each other's hair.
Watch Adventure Time.
I like to assume it's like that scene from Deer Hunter.
Okay.
But with a lot more wizard robes. It's like Hogwarts plus Deer Hunter.
bit of cold water on my sleepover idea there.
Yeah.
But like you said, this is now it's the people who got Pope Palpatine in the first place, but with people that he appointed.
People he appointed to specifically make sure that people like him would be appointed again.
So there's a fair number of people there who think Vatican II was probably a bad idea.
Yeah, and the last pope was actually building bridges with people who specifically thought that Vatican II was a bad idea.
Right.
So we're lucky we don't have Pope Mel Gibson I. I know a lot of people are making a big deal. Oh my God, he's a South American Jesuit! Because the Jesuits, of course, have this reputation for being a little more liberal.
Right.
This guy is not a darling of the Jesuits.
Right.
He is incredibly dogmatic, and if there was this guy who was going to sweep clean and was going to fix all of the problems with the boy rape that we've seen around the world, they would have not appointed him, because they know that their heads could be on the chopping block, potentially, legally.
Has he said anything about that at all? Is he on the record anywhere?
I hunted
pro
that.
Or con?
Well, I hunted that down, and I couldn't find any listing. Oh, there have been cases of child molestation by Catholic priests in Argentina, where he's from, but no actual statements by him at all, and I think we should never assume that he's somebody who, oh, well, we can just assume he has the best stance on that. He was picked by these people who uniformly do things like blame the victim, claim that they were seduced by the victim, that these people are liars and are out to get them, compared themselves to, like, Jews on the cattle cars going to Dachau.
Right.
I mean, we got people like that. These are people electing him. They're not going to elect a guy who says he's going to clean house.
No.
Because they know that they're potentially one of those things that's going to get cleaned out.
No. I was talking to a good friend of mine about this, who was a very staunch Vatican II Catholic, and now is actually an Episcopalian after Ratzinger, because Ratzinger disturbed her so much, and not only because he looks like Emperor Palpatine, and has a terrifying monster leer. But she said, you know, pretty much the only little silver lining she could see in the new pope is that he does claim to have a stance on being disturbed by the way the Catholic Church uses and utilizes power. Although, I don't know if that's really going to make a big difference. Like, no, he's not talking about these political touch points, like, you know, all the child rape, et cetera.
Yeah.
But
well,
that's
a touch point now.
Well, yeah.
Well,
but,
literally.
But he is somebody bad pun.
Yeah.
But he is somebody who in the past has claimed that he wants to reform power within the Catholic Church. So she's like, well, maybe that's a small step up from Ratzinger, possibly.
So we got somebody who is on the record as sort of a reformer, but he's a reformer. It's not the kind of reformer that Catholics in America have been asking for.
Right.
It's certainly not the kind of reform that the people outside the Catholic Church have been asking for. There's no discussion of the the molestation problem endemic to the Catholic Church. And what he's had to say about marriage equality isn't particularly nice.
Actually, Argentina passed marriage equality in 2010.
Yeah.
And he was actually the leading voice of opposition to marriage equality in Argentina.
Surprise, surprise.
So when we're talking about, we haven't heard what he has to say on marriage equality, and we haven't heard what he has to say about molestation, so it's probably a good thing. No, let me tell you what he says about marriage equality, and then you can go, well, you know, if he was a presidential candidate, you're like, well, he said this one thing, so I'm assuming his other stances are okay. This is what he had to say about marriage equality. Let us not be naive. This is not simply a political struggle, but an attempt to destroy God's plan. It is not just a bill, but a move by the father of lies who seeks to confuse and deceive the children of God.
Satan! Satan! Satan!
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he also refused to back... You know, they were also pushing laws to allow gays and lesbians to adopt children, which he called discrimination against children, which I thought would be, I don't know, maybe some gruesome elderly virgin pawing at them.
Right.
I think is a much greater attack on children than allowing a loving couple to adopt them.
I would assume most children would prefer to have two mommies or two daddies than to be cornered and abused by Emperor Palpatine, yes.
Yeah. Or in an in foster care. Foster care is not great.
No, sometimes. It's not.
Yeah. Especially some of the Catholic foster care that we've seen that includes gruesome physical abuse, emotional abuse, living conditions that look like a third world prison in some places, and then the occasional rape. I mean, this is crazy that these people could go out in public and say anything about protecting children with a straight face. To me, is abhorrent.
Right.
It is.
They've forfeited the ability to moralize about that.
Do you know,
topic. If
you want to get down to the root of the problem, the reason why, I get a little tired of talking about the Catholic Church, I have to admit.
I do.
We are, I know, clearly, it is St. Patrick's Day. We're both Irish, we're both from the Irish diaspora. We're not from Ireland. And so we both have significant portions of our family that are Catholic. But here's the thing is around the world, the Catholic Church, an organization known for having problems with child molestation, is in charge of foster care on a national level. This is NAMBLA being in charge of foster care.
It's disturbing.
And not only that, when you look at their stance on AIDS, where they say that condoms not only make the spread of AIDS worse, which is an absolute lie, in many places in Africa that's ravaged by AIDS, they are the only place where somebody can learn about AIDS is the church.
Yeah.
That they're the only place that people can learn about sex education is the church. And again, like you said, there's this monopoly they have in many parts of the world. And they lie. They are aiding and abetting a virus which is ravaging and killing people by the thousands.
Right.
Out of the name of religious dogma.
And in places where they don't hold sway over national politics, the disease is treatable and survivable on a long-term basis.
And this is the same church that in many places where they don't have legalized divorce, these are people who are not just fighting against gay marriage.
Yeah.
They're fighting against the right to even divorce somebody.
Right.
Even somebody who's abusive, even somebody who's horribly physically and emotionally abusive. It's amazing. What's her name? Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Who gets held up as this just paragon of virtue. Took time out of her busy schedule of not providing health care to people in Calcutta to go to Ireland to actually campaign against things like legalizing abortion, legalizing divorce. That's what this church is about.
Yeah, and it's more what the church is about than liberal Catholics in the United States would like to admit. And again, I have that outstanding question and request for somebody who wants to talk about this with me and sort of help me understand. So go to askanatheist.tv, click on the button, let me know, and I'd love to begin that conversation. Speaking of conversations with our listeners, We've got some emails, and there's one email, since Libby is here.
Yeah.
And this comes to us from Andrew from the website. This is sort of a segment called, I think, They Hates Us.
I don't think Andrew was hating on me with
this
one,
though. No, he wasn't.
No.
And he writes, at the end of this episode, Libby Grant mentioned The Life of Pi. I finally saw the film a few days ago. I don't know about the book, but the movie toggles the card line for me. I enjoyed the movie, except for all the spiritual suppositions. Is there a specific name for the argument that life is more meaningful and joyful, believing in a loving God versus believing in a cold universe filled with nothing but atoms? The argument asserted in The Life of Pi has the same faults as Pascal's wager with its either-or dichotomy. The argument excludes the third option of being inspired and exhilarated by amazing scientific discoveries, not to mention art, philosophy, travel, relationships, and entertainment. So, right at the end of the show, you mentioned that you liked The Life of Pi?
No, or? I grossly do not like The Life of
Got
Pi,
it. Okay.
But everyone else on the face of the planet seems to adore The Life of Pi, and
right.
I don't understand how they possibly can, especially given the fact that it does make, like, pretty much the entire reason. I have not seen the movie, I've read the book.
Okay.
Pretty much the entire purpose, apparently, behind the book. It's, in my opinion, heavy-handed and theme conveyed with all the subtlety of a brick to the forehead was that life is just so much more magical if you believe in God, so why would you not?
Yeah.
You know, basically. Which is silly.
You know what movie kind of had the same thing for me, but like a few years ago?
What?
What the Bleep Do We Know movie.
Oh, I didn't watch that one either. I try to avoid films that make me really angry that I just spent like $18 sitting in a chair watching them.
Someone who at the time was important to my life suggested that I watch that movie. And I wish I could have that time back, because, wow. Not even the computer graphics were nice.
That's how I feel about having read The Life of Pi, actually. I wish I could have that time back, because I could have been reading a better book. In terms of Andrew's question, like, is there a specific name for the argument? I don't think so. I mean, it does feel like an offshoot of Pascal's Wager. It feels like sort of the offspring of Pascal.
Pascal's Wager 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, basically.
I could actually think of a name for the argument.
Pomposity?
I was going to say lying.
Yeah.
But it's the immediate bias is written into the question.
How about patently a load of crap?
Well, when you say, well, would you like to have this wonderful thing? Or do you want to have this cold, meaningless universe filled with nothing but atoms? Right off the bat, the question is telling you that you're supposed to feel bad about one of the options.
Yeah.
It's a loaded question.
No, I mean, Andrew wrapped up his comment on The Life of Pi with George Bernard Shaw's awesome quote, which goes, "The fact that a believer is happier than a skeptic is no more to the point than the fact that a drunken man is happier than a sober one. The happiness of credulity is a cheap and dangerous quality." Indeed, Mr. Shaw, indeed.
Yeah, well done. So the card line,
we should mention,
because he mentions it. The card line is the line which is crossed by an artist, at which point their political beliefs or their ideological beliefs poison your enjoyment of their art.
Right.
And that's what the card line is.
Yes, and Life of Pi completely crossed the card line for me, because I could have enjoyed the writing in the book. The imagery was quite good.
Yeah.
I could have enjoyed all that stuff about it, except you get to the end, and it whacks you across the face with this 2x4 of self-righteous BS.
Right.
And it ruined the whole thing for me.
The other thing that... So I guess in your case, this was an agreement between a comment poster and you.
Yes.
In my case, it's a little different.
Yes.
On the website, askanatheist.tv, there's an argument I got into under a post called I Like Baseball Too, about the comments I made last week about Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is... And we got... I got a few of these. I got a lot of them on Facebook where I was doing a lot of my conversations. We got a couple of them on the website, and this one was a pretty good exemplar of the argument, so I actually turned it into a blog post. And the problem here is I am making a comment about his cult of personality, his cult-like behavior, and the restrictions on freedom of speech.
Right.
And because a lot of people found political, you know, a shared political cause with him in his social values, in his economic values and stuff like that. And everybody assumes that because I don't like Hugo Chavez, that I don't like him because of his fiscal policies. I don't like what he says about freedom of the press, therefore I'm a Republican, or therefore I'm a fascist, or therefore I'm a... And this guy, the guy I respond to, could not go 4 paragraphs without mentioning Fox News. And it was that kind of thing.
Okay.
This is a really good example of the situation for me, which is I'm making a comment not about his fiscal policies. I'm making a comment about why it's important to ask an atheist, which is freedom of expression and cults. These are things we have said. We don't like free. We don't like restrictions on the freedom of the press, and we don't like cults.
Right.
And that's all we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think it's if you're somebody who still thinks that the only places where you're going to see criticism of Hugo Chavez and his views on human rights, I recommend you go to the websites for both Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International,
exactly,
which are clearly not mouthpieces of Fox News or capitalism or whatever. Go there and take a look at the political repression that happens under him. And if it's a question of I like him because I like his economic policies, there are plenty of countries in Western Europe that have the same policies that don't have the cult of personality, that don't lock up journalists, that don't expel people for criticizing the government.
There are other countries even in South America where this is going on. Which if Becky were here, she would
She would know them all.
She would talk about them for about half an hour.
It is possible to nationalize your bank without also acting like an autocrat.
I am making no claims about the fiscal policies of Hugo Chavez or the Bolivarian constitution or anything like that. This is not what Ask an Atheist is about. Do I have opinions about those things? Absolutely. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, you've heard me expound about them ad nauseum. But when we talk about it on Ask an Atheist, we are talking about two very simple things. And so to sort of wrap it up with what we talked about at the beginning of the show, the new guy whose name, again, Becky would know it, I don't.
Jorge Bergoglio.
Bergoglio, yeah.
Okay. One of the things that they're talking about, the Venezuelan government, is that Hugo Chavez went up to heaven, had a conversation with God, and said, maybe a pope from South America this time?
Yeah, he's the tiebreaker, apparently. Doesn't this feel a little bit North Korean in the sense, or maybe like a pharaoh, that he's a dead leader who's still affecting world policies from beyond the grave?
I am predicting some mythos about a unicorn and hatching from a swallow's egg at any moment here.
Well, they're talking about embalming him like Lenin.
They gave up on that. They did. They decided not to do it.
Yeah. I was hoping they'd get a taxidermy guy to make him look all fierce, like,
rearing, rampant Chavez.
Hind legs, growling at capitalism.
I want to get buried like that.
That actually sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So that's what that comes down to. So if you'd like to see what we talked about Hugo Chavez, you can go to askanatheist.tv. It's the featured article right now. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Boy, I like the new soundtracks, I got to admit.
It's kind of eerie.
And in a moment, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about something we mentioned like a year ago, the Atheist Haven subreddit, and we're going to have a conversation with the organizer.
I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Or rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's best source of atheist videos. Visit atheismtv.com.
So what does everybody want to play?
Something new?
Something with guns. Lots of guns.
Something that supports playing other than combat, you knob.
Jerk face.
All right, how about Dead Stars from Dame and I Publishing? It's a sci-fi game that uses the Universal Decay rules, a variation on our usual fantasy campaign system. This system has an emphasis on social and technical skills, yet allows technical characters to make thousands of different weapons.
Hey, psionics.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be a bug with big freaking guns.
Shapeshifting tech head for me.
Check out DameandI.net for the sci-fi horror game Dead Stars, as well as a listing of other products and to get involved in the community forums.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Come to the 2013 NFA Conference. The 2013 Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference will be held at Portland State University April 5th through April 7th. Principal speakers include Dr. Daryl Ray, author of Sex and God, How Religion Destroys Sexuality, Hemet Mehta of The Friendly Atheist, and Dr. Valerie Tirico, author of Trusting Doubt. Go to nwfreethought.org to register and learn more. Again, that's nwfreethought.org.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And joining us now is Pete Marchetti, known as Strider on Reddit, and he is the organizer of r/atheisthavens, a Reddit which seeks to give people escaping destructive religious environments a place to go. How you doing, Pete?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing very good. So give us a little bit of background about the you know, how it got started, and honestly, I am not really up on Reddit. Reddit confuses me a little bit. So how do Reddits like this get started, and how did this one in particular get started?
Okay, so for those who may not know, Reddit is a link aggregator website. You find a website you like, you go to that website, you post the link, and then people can make comments on it as well as visit that link. And they're organized in subreddits. And anybody that wants to can create a subreddit. You go to the website, log into an account, and then you start your own subreddit. They have a link right there. And you can make it whatever you want for whatever purpose you want. You can make it private, public, et cetera, et cetera. So there is the infamous atheism subreddit on the Reddit website, which because of the amount of traffic and just the amount of activity there, it's one of the default Reddits. When you first sign up, you get there. And there's been, you know, some on-site controversy. But one day, reading articles on Reddit, somebody made a post about how their parents just found out they were an atheist. They're getting kicked out.
Right.
Now, this was an adult. This was not a child. This was somebody above the age of 18, but he was, you know, 19, 20, in college. You know, the economy's awful, and, you know, trying to find a place to live all of a sudden becomes difficult, especially when your entire social circle is involved in a religion.
Right. And that's something that we hear a lot is... people in groups that are, you know, there's religions that have strong communities and cult-like behavior. When you step away from them, not only are you losing in touch with your parents, but basically your whole community just essentially evaporates.
Yeah, and not only evaporates, but you actually become an object of scorn and ridicule. And there are some religious traditions where it's not unusual for it to become a matter of violence and your personal safety.
So I have to ask, Pete, how many people are participating in your subreddit right now?
Well, I actually have to pull it up and take a look at the member count, which I'll do here as we talk. There's several thousand people who are subscribed to that subreddit. Mm-hmm. And just subscribing means that when you log in, you are presented with the new post to that Reddit on your front page. And what that does is it allows you to see when people are posting that they are offering a place to stay. So right now we have, as soon as it pops up, 2,321 readers. And the last time I did a count, we had over 370 posts offering a place for people to stay.
Oh, wow. I was about to ask something like that, because there's always a question when you have something that has a... not just an ideological basis, but actually has a specific purpose, that there's a worry that you might have a bunch of people who are essentially cheerleaders who sympathize with what the subreddit was created to do, but you don't actually... Are you finding the sort of people that want to hook up with these people who want to give them a place to stay, who are seeking refuge from religion?
Well, the way we're organized is kind of in a way that tries to respect everybody's privacy. What we do is, if you want to get involved, go to the subreddit and make a post that just has your city and state. And then in the description, put any details that you feel are required. And then if someone needs help and they mention it on Reddit, or they already know about the subreddit, they can go, they can search through all the posts in the subreddit for their city and state, and message anyone directly who has offered help, so that they hook up immediately without having to go through the moderation team or anything like that.
That seems like a really smart way to organize it. I was kind of wondering, you know, what the process is that you guys have to sort of keep this as, you know, privacy protection, et cetera, like to keep it as safe as possible. But that sounds like you have it fairly well figured out. Or are you guys looking for kind of ways to improve it and to make it more streamlined? Or
I'd love to find a way to make it like an actual thing, an ongoing thing with more people involved and involvement around the world. The issue becomes that, say someone contacts you and you've posted that you're willing to offer someone a haven, they contact you and they say, yeah, I'm over 18. Turns out they're 17.
Right. Yeah.
The parents
yeah.
can then bring the police to your home and get legal issues involved for people. So we have some disclaimers up. If you're posting for a haven, it's entirely at your own risk. Unfortunately, we have no way we can offer legal support.
Right.
I'm just a user on Reddit, and I saw a need, and I said, hey, can the community solve this? Can we give them an opportunity to solve this? So I created the subreddit and posted to the Atheist subreddit about it. And every now and then, as I'm searching Reddit, I will see where somebody says, hey, I'm afraid my parents are going to kick me out. Or,
yeah.
you know, my roommate just found out I'm an atheist and kicked me out. And it's not just me. People who haven't posted a haven and people who are not subscribed to the Atheist Haven subreddit will always, it'll be the top post, the top comment in one of those, hey, don't forget about Atheist Haven.
Yeah. Now there's.
And every time that happens, we get a surge of new people posting new havens on the subreddit.
That's something that's part of the reason why I personally feel this is really important. One of the stories that we're learning and like stuck with people from Ask an Atheist is we've had somebody on the show, Chad, a couple times, who was just sort of ghosting around Tacoma, who I ran into, and he was having basically the exact same trouble that people would go to Atheist Havens for, and I took him in. Personally, I don't try to make a big deal out of it, but it was an important moment in both of our lives. For me, it was paying it forward, you know, sort of returning the favor of people. I was doing for people what had been done for me at that point in my life. But the thing is that happened almost entirely by luck. He happened to be there, and I happened to be there, and it worked. And one of the things that we're missing, and one of the things that I thought was missing before I heard about Atheist Havens is a place for people to go to find these people, because we really shouldn't have this be done by luck. People need to be able to have intellectual freedom to believe what they want to believe when they're adults, to get out of their homes. And with the way we turned a blind eye in this country about religion, you know, Scientology gets a pass. The Jehovah's Witnesses get a pass. But people need places to go. And this is what Atheist Havens are for. So thank you very much for doing this.
You're welcome. And it's one of those things, like you said, this is something that when I first heard about this guy that triggered me to post this, I was reminded of situations I saw growing up all the time, because I was raised a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, okay.
I was one of the most devout members of the religion before I left in my early 20s. And I saw over and over again young people in their late teens, early 20s, suddenly thrown out of the house because they said, look, I just can't buy this. And they're, you know, the witnesses are famous for their shunning practices.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And it, you know, different families do it different ways, but there are witness families that it is absolute as far as the believers are concerned. The non-believer is now dead. For
yeah.
all intents and purposes.
Right.
And, you know, I heard about people as I was growing up that found themselves in this position where their whole life they've been completely insulated in this religious group. They have no experience out in, you know, what would be called the real world. And they get out there and they start making bad decisions and they start trusting the wrong people, and it winds up badly for them. And, you know, I saw that this kind of thing is a bigger problem than what was in my world, and I had to do something.
So when we talked on the when we talked before airtime, you said you were looking for some assist, not just other places that could host Havens, but there's other issues that are happening with Atheist Havens that you'd like to see addressed. You were looking for somebody who could do do some legal research for you. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, one of the things that was brought up as soon as the community, the Art Atheism community on Reddit, started discussing this, because I made a post and invited people, and then we have a place where we can go actually talk about the idea behind Atheist Havens. The thing that keeps coming up is, what are the legal liabilities?
Right.
You know, and how can we protect ourselves? Can we do something? Is there some kind of a safe haven law that would allow us to take in a 15, 16, 17-year-old person, and when their parents come say, no, this is not a safe situation, and here's the police to back me up?
Right.
You know, is there some way we can expand this and provide legal protection to both the people offering a haven and those seeking shelter, because they're in a very vulnerable state?
Yeah, and this is really touchy stuff, because it goes into parent-child relationships, and that's and frankly, that I'm baffled by the whole concept. So if you are if you're listening to this show and you have some opinions or you can help, where should they contact you? Should they just go to the subreddit and let you know?
Easiest thing to do is go to the subreddit and send a message to the moderators. I am not the only moderator.
Okay.
And there are a few other people. Mainly what we do with the subreddit is we make sure there's no spam. Anytime somebody posts that they have a location, we always go ahead and check and make sure it's a valid post and not something strange. And then we go ahead and approve it, so that all the havens that you see listed there, we've actually looked at every one of those listings. If there's something that seems kind of funny, we'll take it down, message the person, talk to them, and then put it back up if it is valid.
Yeah.
The only other thing I really do is delete posts to keep the signal-to-noise ratio high. The idea behind Atheist Havens is that it is nothing but a list of cities and states where people are offering shelter. And then if you want to discuss the concept of Atheist Havens, we created another subreddit, RAH Chat.
Okay.
AH Chat, Atheist Havens Chat, and that's the place for meta discussion.
Well, it's Pete Marchetti, right? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Okay, great. You're known as Strider on Reddit, and you are one of the organizers of the Atheist Havens subreddit. Thank you for the work that you do, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, thank you so much. I love your guys' show.
Thank you very much. It's really an important thing. Is like I said, religions, destructive groups, cults, whatever you want to call them, in this country, because of the way we perceive freedom of religion and it's linked to freedom of speech, they get a pass where they really shouldn't.
And, oh boy, they do. Yeah. I mean, someday maybe in the future we can talk about the FLDS Church and all the passes they get because under the guise of freedom of religion protection. But yeah, it's out of control in this country, and it it wreaks such havoc on so many people's lives, and people losing their homes and losing their communities is only one small aspect of that.
It's funny because we hear all the time that, oh, well, you guys don't get discriminated against. You guys don't have to handle any of that. You guys aren't have to deal with bigotry. And I know that that's a lie because, personally, I have heard so many horror stories from people, like with Chad, like with so many other people I'm not going to name, but people who have been made persona non grata because they don't believe that to their families they're essentially dead. That their entire family has essentially been instructed top down not to talk to them as a person, not to help them, not to offer them anything. They're just thrown out into the world. And things like the Clergy Project, another example, is that not only when you're in a position there, but you're also a leader, everyone just sort of collectively turns their back on you.
Yeah. There's a couple of organizations that I'm hoping that I can get Strider in contact with. And the Clergy Project is kind of one of them because of the very sensitivity of what they have to do. You know, I think there's some comparisons there that could be made. Maybe they could talk and come and figure some things out. This is one of those situations where the community can help itself. And, this really is important to me. And there's going to be a lot of people out there who are saying, well, when you start talking about children, that means you're just proselytizing, blah, 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 blah. How dare you get between a child and his parents. That's not what's going on here. The decision has already been made. We are trying to keep people safe.
Yeah, I don't understand this. We're not pulling them into a van and waving a book in their face.
Yeah,
we're talking about people that have been thrown out into the world, and we're saying we don't want those people to starve. We're not bringing them into an environment in which we're going to proselytize or preach at them.
Right.
Just have a place where they can figure stuff out and be free from the sort of oppression and meanness and be able to have some distance from their parents, because the reconciliation that may come between them and their parents is going to come when there's distance between them and both sides can cool down.
Definitely.
Yeah. I know in my case, I didn't want to, when I take people in and they start asking me about atheism, I don't want to talk about it at all. It's like, you got other things you got to work on.
Yeah.
you don't need me telling you what to do. You don't need this. This is not what you need from me. So this is, again, really important work. I think this is something we have to do. And thanks everybody at the Atheist Haven subreddit for what you guys do. We have to talk about, we're going to switch gears a little bit here, because in his house in Relay, or however you pronounce that.
Oh.
Cthulhu is apparently getting it on with people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I don't think this is specifically Cthulhu, perhaps one of his distant cousins.
Got it. So, Stephanie Ray Cohen, a self-described psychic, says that she gets regular visits from extraterrestrials. Mm. Not only does she claim to meet aliens ranging from the Greys to cat people to octopus people, she says that the meetings are intimate and says that the experiences are better than she'd had with human partners. Wow.
Yeah.
Of her alien... Oh, I love this part. Of her alien cephalopod lover, she said, he's kind of like a spirit boyfriend. I don't call him my boyfriend. He's more a good spirit friend who happens to be from the octopus race. .. What she doesn't say is who I have sex with.
Tentacles.
It's there's two cultural touch points that I can branch off from. One is the obvious Japanese one that I don't want to add a lot of detail to. But it really feels, when I hear of octopus men from beyond time and space, I can't help but think that this is the beginning of some sort of Dunwich horror style.
Yeah, I feel like I should be rolling for sanity.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah.
I do.
Make your
sanity save
now. Yeah.
She should definitely roll for sanity.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I don't know what to say there. This seems to be a theme. This is the second story you've brought to the show, Mike, of somebody having ghost sex with somebody. What was the first one?
It was Kesha.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
It was Kesha. Yeah. Kesha and her ghostly boyfriend.
Yeah, it was a repeated one. At least it was consensual. It wasn't like one of those horror movie scenes or something.
Yeah.
She seemed to like her ghostly booty call and, you know, more power to her.
Right.
I don't think she's really having sex with a ghost. She may be just having a really intense sex dream of some kind.
I could go into a whole thing about this, but none of it would be appropriate for radio, so...
No, there's whole psychological discussions, theories.
The deal with Kesha, though, is she was still essentially, I assume, having sex with a human ghost. There wasn't, like, octopus men coming into
them. Right,
the cat
right.
people?
Cat people. Well, cat people is so standard for
I would not want to get it on with a cat person alien, knowing, as I do have from my experience as a zookeeper, male cat physiology does not sound pleasant.
Have you seen or heard cats having sex outside your house before?
There's a reason for that. Let's just leave it at that. The cat people need to stay out of my bedroom.
That's some serious Chris Brown stuff there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's not cool.
This took a dark turn.
Yeah. I don't want to think about this anymore. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. It's been a weird week for news, and it's not just the Pope, and we need to talk about it. We'll be back in a parade.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Come to the 2013 NFA Conference. The 2013 Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference will be held at Portland State University April 5th through April 7th. Principal speakers include Dr. Daryl Ray, author of Sex and God, How Religion Destroys Sexuality, Hemet Mehta of The Friendly Atheist, and Dr. Valerie Tirico, author of Trusting Doubt. Go to nwfreethought.org to register and learn more. Again, that's nwfreethought.org.
Right, welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We have a lot of folks from Peggy's Challenge that we need to talk about. I'd like to take a moment to thank them. We have Frank from Los Angeles, California, Leo from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Jason from Gainesville, Florida, Peggy from Kent.
Yay, Peggy!
She from the Peggy's Challenge. Tom from Cambridge in the UK, Ronnie from Denmark, and somebody who's a website, itsoutofsight.com, didn't get your name. Thank you all. I am happy to say that thanks to your efforts, Ask an Atheist will continue on for another season. So season 12 is online. We've got some good interviews. We've got some really interesting material lined up. And so really, thank you guys a lot. The show could not happen without your help.
You guys are so hardcore.
Yeah, thank you very much. We have another announcement, and joining me now is someone who's been on the show a couple times. Nick, how you doing?
Insert Nickelback joke here.
Yeah, there we go. So one of the things that was going on this week, and part of the reason why Becky's not here to remind me to do announcements, is that the Camp Quest Northwest retreat planning for this year's Camp Quest Northwest was this weekend.
Yes, the people who were interested in becoming staff members and volunteers at Camp Quest, which is the camp, the kids' camp that you hear the advertisements for here on Ask
Billy,
an Atheist.
Yeah.
Billy! It was basically just a planning meeting. And we are in desperate need of volunteers because we have like easily half over and like as many kids as we had last year.
Yeah, and the thing is you're not even done with enrollment yet, and there's
no,
still
we're
way
not.
More kids than last year.
No, we currently to date have I believe 44 kids, and last year we had 31. And we have about as many volunteers as we did last year, and last year we were already
I was on
a skeleton crew.
I was only there for half of it, and I was dragging butt by the end.
It's
just following those kids around it's amazing, and it's fun to watch, and it's watching them interact with science and skepticism and asking these questions. It's a beautiful thing, but boy, is it tiring.
It is not easy. I spent the entire week maybe getting 3.5-4 hours of sleep every night, drinking 5-6 cups of coffee a day when I usually drink like one every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was really, really tough. But as soon as I got in my car to go home, I wanted to do it all over again. I knew I was going to come back.
Same here. Same here. I thought I was going to do this just to, because the idea of Camp Quest is important to me. I thought I was just going to do the event, and it was just going to so many kids, and it's going to drive me nuts. But no, that wasn't it at all. I loved it, and I didn't even have to I didn't have to think about it. It's like, of course, I will do this again. This is amazing.
I'm not being flippant. It was easily the most rewarding experience I have ever had in my entire life.
Totally. I just want to say, like, I can't wait until the time when I can volunteer with Camp Quest, which won't be until next year, unfortunately, due to other commitments. But I have been a camp counselor in the past, and it is one of the coolest experiences you will ever have. It's so much fun.
And these kids, oh my God,
yeah.
These kids are smart.
Yeah. Like, how could being a camp counselor possibly be cooler than at a regular camp if it's at Camp Quest with a bunch of super smart kids?
Just go back and listen to the Camp Quest Northwest episode we did, and listen to those kids.
It's a great episode.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you had to cut a lot out of that episode,
too. The extended edition of that episode is coming out soon. We need to talk about that. But again, If you want to participate this, and you want participate in Camp Quest Northwest, and you want to hang out with a fair number of people who have been on the show, a good half the people who've been on the show show up at Camp Quest. It's just, it's that kind of thing. Definitely.
Yeah, if you want to volunteer, or if you're interested, please go to campquestnorthwest.org. If they like you, they'll call you in for an interview, and if you pass a background check, you can volunteer. And it's a week long, I believe, in August.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, campquestnorthwest.org. Check it out. Thank you very much, Nick.
You're welcome.
Yay, so, Camp Quest Northwest.
Yeah.
I'm so glad there is one in the area now. I'm like really excited for it. I can't wait till my niece and nephew are old enough to go. So
yeah, you've been to camps. You've been a camp counselor before. Becky has been a camp counselor before. This was my first camp ever. Being there, being a counselor, being an attendee, I'd never done kids camp at all, so it was an interesting experience.
There is something kind of magical about it. It's fun.
Yeah, should be a blast.
So that was fun. Please do, if you can help us out. There's a lot of kids. There was an amazing response to this year. And so now, as usual, when we say something, when we talk about fun things, sometimes we also have to finish up and talk about some not fun things.
No.
And so this comes to us from the Washington Watch Radio Show. Tony Perkins, the president of the Christian fundamentalist lobbying firm Family Research Council.
Ugh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of research going on there.
Yeah. appeared on the radio show last week. He was invited to speak about an article written by a senior fellow from the FRC about the upcoming Supreme Court decisions on both the Defense of Marriage Act and Proposition 8, which banned same-sex marriage in California in 2008. The article claimed that gay rights wasn't the attack on marriage, which had previously come under assault by a 1971 decision that overturned statewide ban on contraceptives.
Yeah, that they think that was the first salvo in the attack on marriage, was allowing people to choose not to have kids.
Yeah.
Right.
This is weird. And this is what Perkins said. What the Supreme Court essentially said is that single people have a right to engage in sexual intercourse. Well, societies have always forbidden that. There were laws against it. Society never gave young people that right. Functioning societies don't do that. They stop it. They punish it. They corral people. They shame people. They do whatever.
Oh, how wrong you are, sir.
I first want to say how horrified I am by the phrase of corralling people.
Yeah.
That, you.
Poor choice of words, at least.
That has been done in some societies before.
Yes.
Yes.
Several. Yeah.
Yeah, and what a giant load, too. I mean, it's just so patently wrong. Hello, one of the most successful societies that has ever existed, ancient Egypt, of which I am a huge nerd, for thousands of years had no social stigmas against premarital sex among, you know, young people, unmarried people. They had stigmas against extramarital sex. If you were already married to somebody else, it was considered very bad to go have sex with someone who was not your marriage partner. But nobody seemed to have a big problem with people just kind of doing whatever for as long as they wanted to until they got married.
For a group that calls themselves the Family Research Council, they haven't really done a lot of research on how some families get made, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, what is their research? Just crack a Bible open? Or?
Pretty much. I think the exact opposite of research. Research is the idea of looking for answers on something and investigating. They believe they already have all of those answers.
Right.
So they don't need to look anything up. That's what I find just so horrifying about this, that he's really talking about making premarital sex illegal. And this is really nothing new from the Family
Research
Council.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck.
It's amazing because you really understand the level of social control these people expect.
Yeah.
The level of cultural dominance these people expect. And it's unreasonable would be a kind word to describe the fact that they really want to put a padlock on your junk.
They do.
Especially if you're a woman. Clearly.
Yeah. That's what, I mean, entire election cycles have been based on that now.
Yeah.
And they keep losing and they keep not noticing.
Right.
Yeah, gay people and abortion is not the limit of the control that these people want to have over sexuality and law.
No.
They want to essentially create a very narrow view of what they think is moral and then enforce that through people through the threat of corralling, shaming, banning, potentially jailing or fining people.
There's two sides of this. The one is what you said, which is if this is what they believe history was, their understanding of history is limited to what? England? Yeah. Maybe? Only parts of
limited,
small chunks
limited
of England?
To tiny chunks of the United States from 1950 on.
Well, there you go.
Including mythical ideas about the 50s, yeah. too.
There's also an assumption here, is that because it's the way, this is the assumption that religious people stand on, and it's one of the sources of their privilege, is because we've always done it this way, because we've demanded that it be done this way, this is the way it has always been, and this is obviously superior to anything else. Any progress we've made, any psychological research we've done, anything that we've learned about the human being since the time when we thought that disease was caused by evil spirits to now is crap, and it should be thrown out because we have always done it this way.
Right.
It's not necessarily politically conservative as it is politically reversive. It's
crazy.
It stands against everything that has made society better in the last four centuries, and I never understand this position. I never do.
Well, they want to control you.
Well, and then of course.
And I know that Rich Lyons, our good friend, has said this before, is that if you can control somebody's sexuality, you have a stronghold to basically control every other part of their life, because this is one of the strongest biological impulses that you have, aside from like eating, sleeping, and pooping.
That's not really my point, though. I mean, yes, when they want social control, you go for the organs. You control Maslow's needs. If you control those things, you control the person, obviously. But there are other ways to do it. Scientology, you know, they think homosexuality is bad because L. Ron Hubbard thought it was bad because he was dumb and from the 1950s.
Right.
So they invented evil spirits that make you gay, which is not new, but they did it with interpolation and weird technology in 1950s theremin noises.
Right.
You know, what the part of this that I don't understand is just their pig-headed ignorance of human progress.
Well, they don't want to have ignorance. That's all lies from the devil. They think that anything that contradicts this set worldview, that's why, again, the word research is laughable.
Right.
Because there's no new information coming into that. They believe they have the final answer now, and anything that contradicts that answer, doesn't matter what kind of evidence is backing it up, that is just straight a lie from Satan.
But every one of these people gets the best medical care available in America. It's, you know, gets the best, you know, uses the modern technology to get their voice of hate out there.
Mm-hmm. That's the perniciously paradoxical nature of a meme like religion.
Yeah.
It, you know, somebody may benefit from going against everything that their meme, you know, is trying to spread forward into the future, and yet they will still propagate the meme because it's a meme. It's just like a gene, except it's an idea.
Perniciously paradoxical.
I'm a writer.
Can I just reflect on that for a moment? That's I like that.
Yeah, I don't think we should ever try to assume that these people are going to be rational.
Yeah.
I mean, they're starting from a point that this book that has talking animals in it and says slavery is good is a good thing. So I wouldn't exactly assume that these people are going to be consistent, because if there's anything that human beings in general aren't, it's necessarily consistent.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
There are people who say all sorts of things, but again, on the question of evidence, most people that if you were to make a claim that had nothing to do with religion but was clearly on its face ludicrous, they would demand the same kind of evidence that we do for God. But in times that inside that little box that has a little, you know, piece of masking tape with a marker around that says God,
yeah,
that's the place at which that thinking does not exist. That if I say, hey, I've got a magical box that can make you travel through time, they're going to say, I want to see the proof. But if you say God, you're like, what's wrong with you? You don't believe in it? What's wrong with you?
Well,
nope. Kicked that box over and realized it was empty.
Human beings are really good at a number of things. We're good at pattern detection. We're good at, you know, we're actually not like dogs, but we're good at smelling things. We have these amazing talents, and one of our amazing talents is cognitive dissonance. We're really good at cognitive dissonance, and I am even though I spend a lot of my time on the show talking about why you shouldn't have this cognitive dissonance when it comes to religion, I am not an exception to that. I've had my cognitive dissonance. It's not about religion, but I've had it.
Well, that's the Chavez conversation we were having before, and
yeah,
the same conversation with Pope Francis I, is that there's these really smart people,
yeah,
who normally are on the ball when it comes to evidence and belief, but there's this one blind spot they have. Chris Matthews, who's not a dummy,
no,
basically gushing about Pope Francis I.
Yeah.
People who are really, really smart in the political realm thinking Hugo Chavez is like the second coming of Jesus.
Well, everybody,
this stuff is clearly not true, but really, really smart people can really believe really dumb things.
And that's what it comes down to, and I think this is something that people assume of us, is because we disagree with you about religion, we think you're an idiot. Now, honestly, a lot of the atheist propaganda that you'll get on image macros on Facebook seems to suggest that. But everybody we've talked about, Tony Perkins, you know, we talk about Bill O'Reilly a lot. We talk about any person that we've talked about, and even Pope Palpatine.
Yeah.
They're not dumb.
No.
Well, some of them are. But these people aren't specifically.
What's her name?
The psychic.
Stephanie Cohen, the psychic.
Possibly dumb.
I got some questions about her. But you know, you can be incredibly intelligent. There's like a, you know, Isaac Newton, incredibly intelligent, believed in essentially sorcery,
alchemy.
Yeah, we're not saying these people are dumb. We're saying they have cognitive dissonance, and that's what we're attempting to address.
Exactly. We should never act as if just because we don't believe in this one ridiculous claim that we're somehow immune to ridiculous claims. I've believed some really stupid things in my life. I went through about a year where I was terrified of alien abduction.
Oh, me too.
I think everyone kind of goes through some kind of.
Oh, you know what I did too? After I read that book, it was in like
communion,
eighth grade, not communion.
Oh.
I read that later, and that was fun.
That one freaked me out.
The one about the Gulf Breeze sightings.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because I spent a lot of time in Gulf Breeze, Florida, and It's like, wow, I could go there and get probed. That doesn't sound fun at all.
You probably could in a way that doesn't involve aliens.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Well, try not to think about that.
Wrong part of town.
Yeah.
That cognitive dissonance thing is pretty much as much a part of the human landscape as is the need to seek and acquire sex. So, Family Research Council, I wish you the best of luck with your endeavors.
Family Research Council. Is there anything there that's true? I don't know. So we do have a very quick email in the last minute. We got Bradford from Utah, and he writes, is there a selfless, non-narcissistic, non-religious reason to have kids?
I don't think so, but I don't think that should stop you if you want to have kids. I mean, I think generally, yeah, most people choose to have biological children. I'm not talking about adoption cases, but most people choose to bring children into the world for pretty much selfish reasons. They want to have a kid who looks and talks like them, but go for it. That's biology. Do it.
I don't necessarily see what's selfish and narcissistic about thinking that you love children and you'd make a good parent and that you'd like to be a parent. I don't see how that's necessarily narcissistic or selfish.
Yeah. I is there a narcissistic or selfish? I think there's another prejudgment there that children, having children, is ultimately a narcissistic thing. Becky really, you know, we'll go into my little personal life for a little bit, but Becky really wants to have kids. I'm a little undecided. But when she talks about it, it doesn't seem like she just wants to have kids so that there's little Beckys running around.
No, and I don't think that's the case for most people. I've certainly heard people say that before, like, I don't want to adopt a kid, I want to have my own because I want it to look like me.
Right.
But even that's kind of a biological drive.
That can be corrected with surgery anyways.
Thanks. It is a biological drive. And does a biological drive have to be bad? Do we
no.
have to deny? This is that's the type of thinking that some religious people have. I'm not saying that the guy, Bradford here, is religious. I'm just saying that we spend a lot of time in religion trying to deny biological drives.
Right.
And making sins up about them where there maybe not necessarily don't need to be any, but they all want you to have kids.
Yeah. Of course, to propagate the meme.
That's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam. With me was Mike Gillis and Libby Grant. Thank you very much, Peter, or Strider from Reddit. As usual, our music is by Chris Coleman, Phil Whitfield, and Steve Siemens. Our post show is at the Acme Tavern at 1310 Tacoma Avenue South. See you guys next week.
Clay Radio, your conversation station. KLAY.